Item number two on your agenda is next. It also is an action item. As you can see, it pertains to judicial branch administration. It's a report on the California Rules of Court and our Rule 10.75, our meetings of advisory bodies. And I welcome Justice Miller, Judge Rubin, also Pam Reynolds, and also, I don't have my glasses on, I'm the fourth person to identify.
Deborah Morrison.
Thank you, too. Please proceed.
So I'm waiting for the PowerPoint. I will try to talk as fast as Judge Heiberger. I can't guarantee that. It's a nice thing. Sorry, Chief.
Well, Jim Tubby did this.
Good afternoon, Chief and Judicial Council members. Judge Rubin and I are pleased to have the opportunity to make our one-year progress report on the operation of the open meetings rule. And I know it's hard to imagine that it's been only 1 year. The supplemental report of the 2013-2014 budget package directed the council to report annually to the legislature, providing the current text of the council's open meetings rule and advising of any amendments or changes or modifications we may have made to it. So this will be an overview of what we will be providing to the legislature. Today, we'll be looking at the rule's impact and whether any modifications or changes to the open meetings rule should be undertaken or considered. What I want to stress is the headline or takeaway of this is that the rule is working as designed. It is making a complete and welcome addition to the more open and transparent approach that this chief and this council has taken over the past 4 years. The rule achieved its goal of expanding public access, greater openness, transparency, uniform meeting procedures for the council's advisory bodies, all at the same time while protecting judicial ethics and maintaining the committee's effectiveness. Two of the concerns that we had as we went through that process, ethics and maintaining what the committees do so well. So let's take a look at the numbers, and we will focus on those advisory bodies in which there was the greatest interest. And as you might expect, it turned out to be those who were making budget or spending decisions or resource allocation recommendations, and those whose work ends up on the council discussion agenda most frequently. So here are three examples: the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, the Court Technology Advisory Committee, and the Court Facilities Advisory Committee. The Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee had 16 meetings subject to the rule, and all 16 were 100% open to the public. That's what the rule did. Court Facilities had 8 meetings in the last year subject to the open meetings rule. All 8 were open to the public. Court Technology had 16 meetings subject to the rule, with 13 100% open to the public. That's a huge change over just a year. Where meetings were closed, the chief reasons were, again, as you might expect, privacy discussions of specific individuals who were the subject of certain items, labor negotiations, court security, or judicial ethics. When an advisory body closed a meeting, though, the agendas must be published, and they must include, and did include, a brief description of the agenda item and the reason for the closure. And again, a couple of examples. E&P closed meetings where we discussed advisory committee nominations or personnel matters, and the Trial Court Facilities Modification Committee closed meetings where they talked about lease negotiations. As you can imagine, a significant amount of Judicial Council staff resources has been devoted to the implementation of the rule to ensure consistent application. And that was one of our primary concerns in the creation of this rule, was that we wanted there to be consistent application across all of the committees. After the rule's adoption, council members and staff provided comprehensive training for advisory body chairs, for vice chairs, and for lead staff. Council staff also developed templates of standard meeting notices, agendas, and minutes that all advisory bodies might use. Again, all so that we had consistent, uniform practices. Some statistics. The public attended 64% of the open advisory body meetings this past year, either listening by phone or attending in person if that was an option. Now, on the other hand, that means that 36% of those open advisory body meetings, 56 of 149, drew no public attendance. Most advisory body meetings, as we know, are by telephone or video conference. And this is really because of the time limits and other technological constraints related to managing phone and video meetings. Only written comments are permitted for those meetings where they're by phone or video. For the smaller number of in-person meetings, when security measures permitted the public to attend, spoken public comments also were welcome. During this past year, there were, in that regards, there were 42 open in-person advisory body meetings, and the public had the option of attending in-person at 33 of those meetings. So in conclusion, our review at the conclusion of the first year, after examining the impact of the new open meeting rule, Rule 10.75, leads us as the chairs of the Judicial Council's internal committees who were charged with this responsibility, that the rule doesn't need any amendments or modifications at this particular time. So we recommend that the Judicial Council accept this report and direct staff to submit to the legislature the letter that is attached to our report for the Joint Legislative Budget Committee. The supplemental report, again, of the 2013-2014 budget package directed the Council to report annually to this body, providing the current text and any changes or amendments. The letter that is attached to this report would fulfill this annual requirement. That doesn't mean, though, that we won't continue to monitor the impact of the open meeting rule, reporting back to the Judicial Council as appropriate. For example, if something should rise in the future that may necessitate a change or a modification. And lastly, I would be remiss if I didn't thank Pam Reynolds and Deborah Morrison, one, for all of the help in the time it took us to create this rule, but for all of the work that they put into making sure that we had the templates, that the meetings were consistent, that if there were questions at those meetings, that they were answered and legal opinions were given to them, and for all of the accumulation of data so that we could look at the rule, look at its impact, and make the recommendations that we do today. So thank you very much for that. And Chief, that completes our report.
Thank you.
I'm just looking for a motion to accept this.
Well, I wanted to make sure, Judge Rubin, that you were heard, because I don't want to presume that you're not just another pretty face.
Thank you.
I had that one sense of being. Thank you.
Thank you. Justice Hull.
Yeah, thank you, Chief. I certainly agree with the report and the recommendation. My name is on it, and so it would be inappropriate not to do that. But I do note the statistics that we've gathered showing that 36% of the meetings that were open had no public attendance. I still well remember the pain that we all went through in putting this rule in effect, and I'm not anxious to revisit it. However, I do think that if there's some way that we can keep track of not only the raw statistics, but if there's any sort of a trend or an identification of meetings that the public, you know, simply or advisory committees that the public has little or no interest in, that we should at least keep that in mind. And I know it's very risky business once you place almost any rule, and certainly a rule on open meetings, in place to begin to constrict that rule. But I am mindful of the fact that whether people listen in or not, there are staff costs involved. And if we somehow can discern that staff cost is not necessary, I think we would be wise to try to figure that out. But thank you, Chief. I join, of course, in the recommendation.
So those are certainly things that we can look at, and when we report back in a year, we can give you 2 years of statistics as to what that was. And I think that's why we focused on those three committees where the most attention was paid, and again, you see that it relates to budget.
Thank you. Judge McCabe, then Judge Rosenberg.
Thank you, Chief. It should be noted that last year, while we were discussing this rule change, that after 90 years of the branch under the Judicial Council's leadership of existence, that there was a lot of discussion and concern about this rule. And it appears that all of the concerns that were aired appeared to be more mythological than anything else, that they didn't materialize. And I stress this because a lot of my brethren in the trenches were naysayers and indicated and that this was going to be problematic for the branch. It was going to create enormous problems. It was going to stifle discussion, et cetera, et cetera. In the end, FDR was right. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And this worked out to be a marvelous vehicle for transparency. And it was consistent with what the chief has brought into her administration, which was a transparency, accountability, and efficiency. And so I am quite glad to be the person to move to accept this report, and I'm equally glad that none of the concerns that were echoed long hours in our meetings did not materialize. So this is another bold step for the branch, and I think we should revel in this victory for transparency in a new way of doing business in government. And so I want to applaud the chief for taking yet another leap of faith and taking us where I'm a movie person today. Not, I was going to say we're no man, but as the Spock would say, as no one has gone before, and bring us into the 21st century. So well done. Thank you for the report. Very, very good news. Glad to hear that this should allay all of our fears that we are on the right path, heading in the right direction, and bringing consistency to all the branches of government.
Thank you, Judge McCabe, and your motion has been noted. Judge Rosenberg.
I'll be happy to. Thank you, Chief. Go ahead and second that motion. Open meetings are common, obviously, in local government and in the legislative branch and the executive branch, but they're quite uncommon in the judicial branch. So this is a brave new world we've entered into. And I do commend everyone who's worked on this, the chief whose vision this is part of, and this council for moving forward. I do have a technical question. And that is, how are we tracking public participation? How are we assured that we are, in fact, tracking that public participation? And if a member of the public attends but doesn't say anything, is that still counted as public attendance? If the press is there, is that counted as public attendance? The kind of mundane questions, but I just want to be assured of how we're tracking public attendance.
I think it's a great question. There are some. I think that what we know with each meeting is how many people are invited to attend who need to be there for business purposes. So we know how many lines should be open. Like this is on the telephone meetings, the most common type. What we're able to track is how many beyond that number are actually open. And so that gives us our public attendance. Now, obviously, there may be some limitation to identifying that as purely public versus someone who needs to be there that the judge brought along or has made a presentation to assist. But we, at least at this point, we think that's our a good public number. I think, as Justice Miller has said, as we track the second out year, when we start to have another data point, we start to be able to put more information together about that. That's kind of where we are now.
The other thing, and to answer your question, is it would include anybody, as Judge Rubin indicated, anybody who on a telephone conference call has called in beyond those advisory body members of that pool that we know we would should have. And if it's an in-person meeting, it would be just, again, it's not a count. It's more you look at it and you say, yes, the public was there at the meeting. So you do it as a yes-no type of thing.
Thank you. So I have a motion and a second. And let me say, it seems like the year went by quickly. What didn't go by quickly was the preparation of this rule. So I commend counsel and the committee that put this together. because I remember reviewing multiple drafts of this and the concern. And so quite a bit of work by council went into studying, scrutinizing, looking at the exceptions, trying to follow the Public Records Act, the Freedom of Information Act, trying to carve out what we knew at the time was going to be one of the most open meeting rules for a judiciary. And this council got it done. And there wasn't, as all of you recall, it wasn't all cupcakes and lemonade when it came around. But I'm happy to see that its results have been positive and not, we didn't have the negative impact that we thought we might have with the chilling effect of the robust discussions of our issues. Judge Rubin.
I just want to maybe sort of dovetail off that and Judge McKay's comment. I think we should also thank all the judges, justices, CEOs, and everybody else who stuck with us through this, who continued to go to the meetings, continue to put out the work. We're not, if they were fearful, they did show up and were not scared and have continued to do really good work under this new open rule, and we thank them as well.
Thank you. All in favor then of the recommendation, which is to accept the report and direct council staff to submit the letter to the legislature, to the appropriate committee, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries. Thank you.